tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, Project Runway fans, thank you for tuning in to another edition of our after show, Project Runway Season 14. We are at the finale, Part 1. I'm your host, Vivian Adobe. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at VivaciouslyViv. And I'm here with my fellow co-host.
Hi, I'm Michelle Uberest, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Uberest.
And so we're playing Taylor Swift style because this episode, which we will break down for you guys, had a lot of style issues and a lot of style hits, but, you know, that's for us to discuss. But at the very top of the episode, something that I am so excited to talk about is that the Tim Gunn save. It was used. There were so many rumors that, oh, Tim Gunn won't use it this season, la 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 la. But it was used, and it was used to save Edmund, who we all saw got kicked off at the end of last episode. What did you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much saw this coming. They never showed Edmund in the workroom last episode, and yeah, rumors were pretty much running rampant on the internet. So I'm glad that he used his save. You know, I think it was definitely a person that Tim, you know, wants to support, and I think, you know, if Edmund can pull it together, he could have a really great show.
Right, and I think it's really interesting to notice the contrast between Tim Gunn's relationship with Edmund and Tim Gunn's relationship with Swapnil.
Yeah.
And how they ended. Because when he did save Edmund, he was talking about how, you know, much he deserved it, how much he really worked to be at the end, especially, you know, trying out 13 times. I don't know. I don't think I have that kind of willpower.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been a couple people that make it to the finale or even win that have tried a couple times, 3-4 times maximum maybe. And then after that, you're kind of like, oh, I think I tried out 3 times. But then, you know, at a certain point, you're like, oh, you know, is this really going to happen? Is it, you know, is it worth trying anymore? Am I not a good fit? So, yeah, 13 times. Like, that's persistence. Wait,
can you break down a little bit or at least give a teaser about what the, you know, the process of auditioning for the show actually is?
It's a lot harder than most people think, because you do have to send in your application. It's very long and very intensive. Mm-hmm. You have to send, you know, examples of your work and all kinds of things about yourself so they can get to know you. And then, you know, there's like a million tiers after that. So after that, you can do your audition where you get to show them the pieces in person. To a panel. Usually Tim Gunn is there and someone from the show, and sometimes they have kind of guest judges, like previous runway designers, which is, I think it's great because they know what it's like. They've been there.
And they know exactly what the real judges will be looking for.
Yeah, I think so too. So it's pretty fun, actually. And you get to meet a whole bunch of other designers when you're at the auditions. And then after that, it's a whole bunch more things too. So it's definitely, you know, it's like an interview and they keep cutting and keep cutting until they find out who. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot of work. So, I mean, congratulations to Edmund. And I don't know if Tim Gunn could have, like, let that happen. Like,
right.
You know, it's just, it's really a lot of work. And just for him to keep at it and keep at it and take the feedback that he must have gotten and go home and, like, work and work and work on these things, you know, it's incredible. I can't even imagine.
I can't, because one thing we've been saying all season is that, you know, Edmund looks like he's really studied what works to win the show.
Yeah.
So to, you know, see him go home and it was the final four, and he was like, it's right. He's right there. He's right at New York Fashion Week.
I know.
I'm so happy that Tim Gunn brought him back. And I'm sure all the fans are too, because they kind of always you know, I don't know how, if it's being cut this way, or maybe he really is just this great person, but the whole season, you know, there weren't too many character flaws with Edmund as a designer or just a contestant.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, because, you know, you can say editing, okay, but even in reality, they've got, you know, four cameras on these 16 designers day in, day out. They can't show you everything. So, right. You know, it's hard to know, but I think that he took, you know, he took going home pretty graciously considering what he'd been through.
Definitely. Oh, I would have been kicking and screaming.
Right?
You can't get me off this runway.
And, you know, after that, you could tell how excited he was to really see that dream through. So whether he wins or not, like, I feel like he really is just happy to be going to New York.
Right. I'm so excited for him. And for our lovely viewers, if you are wondering why we're in costume, just to put it together, you know, it's October 29th, and that means Halloween is coming soon. And the contestants on the show, which you'll see later on towards the end of the episode, which, well, you already saw that because that's why you're watching the after show. You know, some of the pieces, they were, you know, called a little bit too costumey, mm-hmm. but it's okay for us to be costumey because hey. Halloween is this weekend. So, you know, got the bunny ears going, bat wings, yep. bat ears. So if you approved of our costume choices, let us know in the comments. And speaking of comments, you guys keep giving us your comments and your feedback. Go on to iTunes, rate us 5 stars if you're loving it, 4 stars if we need improvement. YouTube comments, we're loving all the comments because it's constructive criticism for yeah. us. And yeah, we hear you. So thanks again. And we have one episode left after this. So keep it coming so we can make next week even better. So thanks, guys. But yeah, so it's the final four. Mm-hmm. Even Heidi said in the runway started, like, I was expecting 3, but since there's 4 of you now.
Yeah, and I mean, Edmund's lucky because even if he used his save, sometimes they do put 4 people through and then they cut that 4th person.
Yeah.
After they show their mini collections, it's happened before. So he's lucky they just said, okay, here you go. You're going to Fashion Week.
I just feel like all the judges, they seemed so disappointed in him last week, but not like they were giving up on him as a designer. Just they didn't like what he put out.
It was a misstep for him.
Yeah. But it wasn't like a huge crash landing. So that forgiveness, grace period or something.
Yeah, definitely.
That which was really nice for all of us who were interested to see what everyone's full collections would look like.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, especially fans who, like myself, don't go on ahead of time to look at the designs, which is very hard, especially with you and Amanda sending links all the time. You know, love my co-hosts, but they're always sending us stuff like, look at this, look at that. And I'm like, I just want to wait.
It's too interesting.
Oh, yeah. And especially, can you talk about the decoy designs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because some of our fans and fellow watchers have been mentioning the decoy designs in previous episodes, like, oh, have you seen this designer's line from New York Fashion Week or this one's? Can you kind of explain?
Yeah, so because Fashion Week happens when the kind of the middle of the season airs,
mm-hmm.
like there's like 7 designers left or something, each of those 7 designers gets to show.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they haven't made it to the finale, so that nobody knows, like, who was cut, who makes it. So it's kind of cool because some of the designers who didn't actually make it to the Fashion Week, you know, finale still get to create a collection. they get the money and they are allowed to show. And, you know,
that's awesome.
There's a lot of people there that are, you know, good connections and. It's still, you know, even though you're not competing in the finale, it's still a dream come true.
Right.
So, yeah, you can go online and see everybody's decoy collections.
That's so cool.
And there's a couple people that, like, review them, too. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool opportunity that it happens that way.
So, and that was, you said the top 7.
I think it's the top 7.
Okay. That's really awesome because, I mean, just opportunities to be at Fashion Week and, you know, show something. Even if you don't win the huge prize package.
It's still a winner.
Right.
Like, yeah, if you get to show in New York in front of all of these people, like, that's a great opportunity, too. I know Swapnil showed. Merlene showed.
Yeah, didn't I? There was one that, oh, my goodness. You know, we've cut so many people over this season that now I'm already, like, you know, the one with the glasses and the blonde hair, Amanda? I can't even remember. It's been such a long season at this point.
Yeah.
You know, all the seasons are coming together and making it confusing. But if you do want to know who had a decoy collection, definitely go online and you can go look at them, like you mentioned. But yeah, that's really cool. But I, real quick, I did want to go over again what the actual prize package is, because, I mean, the show really promotes that, you know, showing that New York Fashion Week is like the big thing. That's the overall goal. But their prize package is pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome. $100,000 to start your own line. Hey.
Right. Like, they had $9,000 for this show.
Yeah.
But $100,000, that's awesome. And they also get a celebrity cruise for two people, 1 year of Sally Beauty for their fashion designs. They get to help design a nail color with Sally Beauty. They also get travel and hotel throughout the year thanks to Best Western. They get a car, a Lexus. And they also get hair and makeup for their shows, a Marie Claire spread, and a studio. So it's basically like the ultimate starter.
Yeah, starter kit
for designers. So that's really cool. But now we can actually get into the meat of this episode, which I'm very excited about because it started off with everyone going home. Going home, you know, getting to refuel and be re-inspired. You didn't get to this portion when you were competing, but
no,
how do you feel like the contestants, what that must feel like for them to be able to go home and recharge and kind of start anew?
Just go home and sleep for 3 days and then wake up and make a collection. It's pretty cool because they get a lot of money. They get a little more time, so they have the time to, you know, a day is like nothing.
Right.
To just make some awesome, you know, look. It's crazy. And I always think it's kind of interesting because the designers get to kind of pick their own inspiration. So for this whole season, this is the challenge, this is a challenge, this is a challenge, and they have to kind of mold their ideas and their creativity to that challenge or inspiration that they're given. In this case, they can literally just choose whatever inspires them. It's more personal, and it's kind of an opportunity, like, are you going to sink or swim?
Definitely, because there's no more training wheels.
Yeah, can you work on your own? Because Tim only comes once. He's not there to hold your hand and, you know, say, this is what I think you should do, or, you know, it's a very small critique when you think it's 10 looks.
Very true.
Yeah, and true. I think it's about a week before they go to New York, so it's not like you can change the entire collection based on what Tim says.
Right, and before that, they had been working on their collections for 5 weeks, so at that point, you're really engrossed into your collection, and you kind of have your heart set
you
on everything.
You have to commit before Tim comes, for sure. You have to trust yourself and have something there. Tim is just there to kind of guide you to, you know, help edit and, you know, offer encouragement, I think, because there's a lot of self-doubt there.
Oh, definitely. I can only imagine you go home and it's like, wait.
There's a lot of second-guessing, especially when you're on your own bubble. And I think, especially when I was watching him visit Ashley and her family.
Right.
She felt so, like, she looked like she was lifted up. She looked like she was encouraged when Tim came, and she felt like relieved, happy about it. I could definitely tell like it made a huge difference for her.
And I also think for like Ashley, and I mean all the designers overall, but especially for Ashley, she suffered so many self-esteem issues this season, you know, comparing herself to the other designers and always not always, but having a constant bounce of insecurity.
Yeah,
it was probably better for her when she was able to go home. And we got to see that she has a really loving family, especially her grandma. She was so cute. You know, in uplifting her and saying, like, this is one of the best things that's ever happened to our family, and we're so proud of her.
Yeah, you definitely need that support system sometimes, because you can get in your own head in the workroom or at home or anywhere, and you need, you know, it's good, for, I think, for the designers to be able to work in a familiar space where they can kind of have their private space and their family supporting them, and it's definitely a different environment.
Right. And so when Tim Gunn did go, we saw that her collection was 1950s Mexico City theme, which I thought was really cool to incorporate her heritage. And he visited her in San Diego. So whoop, whoop, California. But I thought it was a really good throwback to her culture, and also the fact that she's doing a plus size line.
Yeah, and that everybody was really supportive of that on the show. They encouraged her to do that, and we're going to supply the models. So I think that's awesome right there.
And a Project One Way first.
Yes.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
She was really excited about that. Very proud about that. So definitely, hopefully, reflects in her collection. And then after Ashley, he went on to see Candace in San Francisco. And I thought it was really interesting, you know, considering that she just started recently talking about her past and how her parents were addicted to drugs. And now she has this relationship with her mom, being actually able to see that with her kids there. And
yeah,
it kind of brought to life a lot of the things that she displays inside of her.
Definitely art. The dark side of her creations, for sure. But I think that, you know, we've seen a lot in her commentaries, too, that she takes that dark and kind of twists it and turns it into something positive and beautiful. And that's, you know, that's what sets every designer apart. They all come from a different place in their life, in the world, with their perspective and everything. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. And then she mentioned that her aesthetic for this collection was kind of Asian, Japanese inspired. And, you know, I thought some of the pieces were really cool.
Yeah.
But it did, well, it was kind of a lot.
It is a lot. But, I mean, you're going to New York Fashion Week. So go all the way or, you know, or don't.
True.
And that's part of Candace. You know, she's very theatrical and she likes to go big. So, you know, that's part of her personality and part of her look as a designer, I think.
Right. I'm very excited for her finale piece.
Yes.
She was taking Tim Gunn, of course, to see her studio. And that piece, like the, you know, the frame of the skirt, it's so big that it couldn't actually fit inside of the studio.
Yeah.
That got me excited. I love a huge skirt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pumped for that one, even though Tim wasn't too excited about the fabric she initially wanted to use for it.
I kind of liked it. I think it's just moderation. Sometimes, you know, I'm kind of have the same tendencies where I want to go big and crazy. Mm-hmm. And you can dial that back. But if you don't have it, you know, there, you can't push it. So I think it's better to go crazy and then step back and edit rather than, like, not have enough and have to, like, make it better.
Yeah, creating last minute.
Right.
Which we'll see later in the challenge. It's not always the best. So then they go to Springfield, Massachusetts, and see Kelly, you know, our little Boston girl.
Kelly from the deli.
And I was excited that she actually did get to
it
take us to the deli.
It was pretty rad, yes. And I guess that they made Tim Gunn his own sandwich that you can get there.
So if you are in Springfield, go to, oh, I don't even remember what the deli's called. Or was it at Pasquale's? Because Pasquale's, I might be saying that wrong. Pasquale's, the restaurant that they went to for dinner. No, it was definitely at the deli. So if you are a fan of designer Kelly, go to her deli and ask for the Tim Gunn sandwich. It looked delicious. So,
yeah.
You know, if I ever make my way over there, that's going to give it a look. But so she introduced us to her collection, which was a Studio 54, kind of 70s vibe, but streetwear and more modern.
Yeah, it was definitely Kelly. My first reaction is I've definitely seen a couple fabrics I've seen there before used. Mm-hmm. I feel like half of it looks really cheap to me, and the other half looks like just couture. So
it's such a stark contrast.
You know, I think if you mix it the right way, it could be really cool. But I feel like she wasn't pushing herself as hard as I have seen her push herself on the show.
I can agree with you there. I love the color palette overall. That's, like, just, it was more appealing to me visually, the color palette itself. I wasn't a huge fan of some of the patterns that she was trying to mix together because some of it didn't look expensive. Mm-hmm. It just looks kind of, like, thrown together.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like you said, she could have pushed herself more. But I did like some of her details, like the fanny packs, which are so
her. Fanny packs were cute. And I think the style of everything, it made sense for me. Mm-hmm. But I wish some of the things had been, like you said, a different fabric or more detailed. A lot of the pieces just looked kind of like easy streetwear that you could just, it's a throwaway piece, you
right.
know? So,
and it's New York Fashion Week,
right?
So,
and I get it, it's Kelly's style, but I feel like it's not as elevated as I've seen her perform before.
Definitely.
Yeah.
She might be someone who, well, she is someone that we know grew a lot throughout the season. I would even say that she was the MVP as far as growth throughout this whole season.
I had her as a front runner, but I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. She had some missteps there with the styling, but, you know, there's still hope as to what she can do with the rest of the collection. And speaking of hope, we went to Atlanta and we got to see Edmund and meet his lovely family and go into his studio and see what he was working on and, you know, his style change for right. this collection. Because he's known for being more sexy, form-fitting, that type of attire that really accentuates a body. And, you know, the collection he was showing us was pretty much all black and white. There was some blues here and there. And some of it, I mean, it was form-fitting, but it wasn't particularly sexy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure what was going on there.
I think that's tricky, because I feel like you go on the show, maybe only a certain side of you is shown to the judges, to the audience, because of the limitations of the challenge or whatever you decide to make. But just because he's known for the guy who makes sexy stuff doesn't mean that's all of who he is as a designer. So maybe he's trying to express that other side, but this isn't really the time to be doing it.
Right.
You've already created that identity. You can't really decide you're going to change it for the finale.
True.
So I think that's why it wasn't as successful. Maybe if he would have had some other pieces in the past that lent something to, you know, a nod to these coming pieces, because it was definitely more sophisticated. And
definitely. He said he wanted to be like an elevated Edmund Newton. And
yeah, and I saw that coming out, but I feel like he could still add those elements of sexy. You know, if you have a totally covered long gown, he could make it backless, or, you know, just little tiny tweaks on the pieces he already had could have changed a lot, I think.
Right. And I don't know, it was missing some of the edge that he also has, which is mentioned later on in the episode, too. Like, I was just waiting for more of Edmund's personality to be shown in the clothes, but
yeah, but at least he was focusing on drama.
Yes.
Which is what you need to always think about when you're going to do a runway show.
Yes. But he was also kind of running behind.
Wow, yeah, he shows up and doesn't have three garments done and he wants to do gowns. Okay. Good luck.
Yeah, that's like not setting yourself up for failure. We won't say that, but, you know, it's going to be a tough ride. You're setting yourself up for a couple panic attacks. Jeez. So we get back to New York. They all come back after their times at home and their times, you know, working on their collections. And they're back in the workroom. And I think it's kind of funny how they're all, like, trying to size each other up. But Edmund's like, no, I have to work on my pieces. When really he just doesn't want to show them.
Oh, whatever. He is a player. He's been trying out for 13 seasons. He's been watching and learning what to do on the show, for sure. But, I mean, who cares? It's done.
Right. Moving on. So, of course, you know, they think that their work is pretty much done until they have another challenge.
Yeah.
They have one day to make another garment for their collection before they present a preview of three pieces mm-hmm. to the judges. And for this one, they're giving a $250 budget to go to Mood. I'm happy that they stuck with Mood this time and they weren't doing any crazy theatrics.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just this episode in general, it was pretty straightforward Project Runway, minus all of the shenanigans that we've been seeing here and there throughout the season.
Well, and some of the designers brought the fabric that they had already bought for their collection, so they could kind of mix and match. Mm-hmm. The thing I couldn't get over was I kept watching the designers unpack, mm-hmm. and I just kept thinking, how did Candace get her wooden skirt on a plane safely to New York, and like this huge bustle skirt, like how did that
get
to New York?
That's so true. From California, of all places, too. Like, that needs its own like U-Haul van across country.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was just, that's all I could think when they're unpacking. And
I'm glad,
like,
you brought that up, because when she was in the studio showing these great pieces, but they are not simple.
No,
and they're very heavy.
And I would assume somewhat delicate.
Yeah. You know,
so
maybe by helicopter.
I want to know. Candace.
Let us know.
Please, please find us on the internet and tell us. I want to know.
Maybe a portion of her $9,000 budget was for transportation. Oh, yeah. Transportation of the garments. Because that really was a pickle.
Yeah.
Okay, so they get to Mood. They're kind of panicking a little bit about the whole, oh, you have a day to make something that actually is cohesive with the rest of your collection. But everyone is pretty much getting stuff together. Edmund, I just kind of, you know, wanted to throw this man a bone, like, rushing to the last second, and then he was over budget.
He was way over budget. I think he was at $395.
Yeah. And I personally don't have many memories of people actually going to the counter and being that far over budget.
That's really, really far.
Yeah.
How can you not know? I mean, I remember I used to, like, just calculate it in my head, like, okay, 2 yards of this, whatever, that's $20, and then, you know, so you can keep track, because otherwise you have no idea, and you could just show up there and have to, like, put back your zippers or something that
which
you
need. Actually had to do.
Yeah.
He had to head it down so much, but I feel like that probably, you know.
And then he just ended up using black and white.
Right. All that work, I mean, all that, you know, but I'm sure you burned some calories.
Yeah.
That's always good. So, yeah, they get the fabrics and the materials. They go back to the drawing board, back to their the workroom, and they're told that they have, you know, a day, and then the models will be coming in. And I think it's really, you know, nice that they had the option of using that new piece to replace something already made in their collection. Because that could literally be, like, the Hail Mary to save them.
Yeah, and like Tim mentioned, too, sometimes in the past, it has been, like, one of the best pieces on their runway, you know, during their show. Because, I don't know, it just takes you out of your element, puts you back in this challenge mode, and kind of changes your perspective a little bit, maybe. So, yeah, I could definitely see where you could come up with a just really cool piece last minute. And I think Nina mentioned it, too. It happens all the time in real life. So, you just think of something and... You know, you've got these things rolling around in your head for days, weeks, months, and last minute is the, you know, you just think of something genius, and then you have to pump it out, so.
Right. And in the end, not in the end, but as far as the looks that were newly created, I really liked Edmund's, and...
I did, too.
I think it was probably classier than, you know, a lot
of... Some of his other pieces, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. And I like Candace's, too. And Ashley's was great.
I feel like Ashley's make it or break it challenge outfit was better than the other two in the three that she presented.
Yeah.
Definitely a highlight.
As a full look, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so good. But now we can go into our runway rundown. So we can tell you guys, you know, in description about the pieces that they did present to the judges. Now this... Like we mentioned, no one was eliminated for this episode, but this was giving them a chance, which Tim Gunn mentioned, to show the judges this is what we have, this is what we're working on, and just get feedback, constructive criticism as to what, you know, what direction they're going in, and, you know, getting their collections to be the best possible for New York Fashion Week. So on the screen, which you all are looking at, the first one we have for you guys is Candace. And, you know, these are her three looks. The look in the center is her make it or break it look. Can we dissect that one first? Her newly made look, because I just can't get over this hat. And I actually liked it at first when she first showed it. And to hear Nina Garcia and I think one of the other judges, I think it was Heidi, completely want nothing to do with the hat, I was kind of taken aback because I actually liked the hat. It's a black hat that's kind of to the side, and she has wood at the bottom of it, and it's covered with like a black lace. I thought it was very well done, and that it was actually the highlight of the outfit for me. She has on a sleeveless black, kind of like a, not a mini dress, it's kind of A-line, and then she has black, kind of not lace, but maybe mesh gloves that go up to the elbows, and simple black heels. The look overall, I only gave a 6, but I loved the hat.
It was very inventive, for sure. I mean, I think this whole look together is a little cliche, but I do love the dress, and I like the hat, but I would like it separately from this outfit. I would like to see it paired with something that is a little more surprising.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Maybe it was just last minute when they help it.
Yeah, it's a little, the whole look together, the way it's styled is a little contrived.
Right, so then on the left, we have her red and white outfit. It does look a little superhero-y to me. I was thinking of, like, Naruto or anime characters looking at it. But I thought everything was really well made, and it was actually my favorite piece when we saw her collection more detailed. So I gave it a solid 9. Not a 10, because I don't really know who I would wear that. But I thought it was really well done.
I kind of rated them by, like, mini collections. So she did that, it's kind of a jacket with laser cut leather, and that to me was like the kicker. That thing is amazing. That's fashion right there. Mm-hmm. But as a mini collection, I gave her an 8.
Okay, that's about, I gave her the same for the overall. Yeah,
I mean, I think it's like, it's the most fashion that I've seen out of the four of these contestants on this runway. Like, it's more inventive, more innovative, more high fashion. I think that it definitely needs a little editing.
Yeah, which all of the judges mentioned that right. She needs to tone it down a bit.
But I think if she could take that extra 2 days before New York Fashion Week and just pare it down a little bit, you know, rein it in.
Bring it in, Candace.
It's too many, like, especially the red and white one. It's super matchy. It's too much red in the white. I would rather see kind of like those white pants with something black.
Mm-hmm. For more of a contrast, more of a, just and a it, pop.
Yeah, and it. I think it would draw that piece back into the rest of the collection because she does a lot of black and stuff. I'd rather see black and white or black and red, you know, with little details. Because the black looks on the runway, to me, they just kind of melt together and you lose the detail.
Definitely. And one thing to note, too, is that a lot of people may assume that if you have the same color or the same one or two colors, that makes your line cohesive. And we heard this from the judges with Candace and also with Edmund, that even though their lines were like a couple different, maybe one or two colors, that didn't make it cohesive or look like one set collection. They said for both of those contestants that their pieces didn't look cohesive like one thing. Yeah. So
I think Candace suffers from too many ideas sometimes because she kind of has the Asian thing going on, then the middle one kind of looks like a witch. You know, it is the hat. It is a little witchy, but it also looks like a different woman who's wearing these outfits, you know, and then the third they all look like three different customers to me. So I think she just has too many ideas, and she could do that. She could use all those ideas separately in different collections, but I think she just has to kind of focus on one and make that the focal point that's going to, you know, bring it all together and make it cohesive.
Okay. And so at the end, she was kind of disappointed that everyone wasn't excited about it as she was, but we already know, you know, she has some toning down and editing to do. Mm-hmm. But we can move on to our next photo, and this is coming to us from Kelly. So the outfit in the center is her Make It or Break It. Actually, no, it wasn't the one in the center. The one on the left is for Make It or Break It. And I wasn't a huge fan of, to be honest, of any of these looks for her. I don't feel like she chose the best looks from her collection to show.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the most adequate use of her opportunity. I did like the one at the on the far right, which was the glittery top and the kind of the disco bell-bottom pants. But overall, I liked her styling, but I wasn't too impressed. Just a quick rundown of what each piece is. The first one is kind of like a mini dress with a skirt, kind of like a tank mini. The second one is a two-piece, it's a top and a high-waisted short. And then the third one is the glittery tank top and bell-bottom pants. And also, she has a fanny pack with the two-piece. Yeah, I gave this one a 7 because I think she really tried. And the pieces, she has a lot of pieces, but I didn't love it. Not for fashion.
I wasn't excited. I gave it a 4.
Ooh.
Everything looks like it's, you know, a throwaway piece. The tank dress, you could literally make it in an hour. You don't even have to fit it because it's spandex. And then we've got, you know, a spandex crop top. with the shorts. The shorts don't fit that well. The fabric is super duper cheap. Fanny pack is like the whole best thing about this entire mini collection.
And they didn't even like the fanny pack. They wanted to use the one that she was currently wearing.
Yeah. The sparkly one. Yeah. And then the sparkly top, I don't like the fit. I've seen it before. I don't... Why are you showing this? The bell bottoms. I just... I feel like it's definitely Kelly.
Yeah, it's a definitely Kelly collection. I get that,
but there were more expensive pieces in her collection that she didn't show. If you mix a cheap piece and expensive piece, I would get that more.
Right.
You know, like if you take a top or a jacket that she put tons of work into, days, weeks, whatever, and then put it with that cheap bell bottom, great, fine, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's cheap with cheap with cheap with cheap, and I get that it's still Kelly's look, but this is not runway whatsoever. This it's is not. Like Kelly for Target.
Yeah, that Kelly, that's a suggestion. Maybe you should pitch it to Target because it's not looking so high fashion for New York Fashion Week.
It just, yeah, and I feel like I want so much more because what I watch the show for is a new perspective.
Mm-hmm. And I always felt like she gave a new perspective. She was always very fresh, innovative, modern, funky. And
I think she's got a good idea, got a good lead, but I don't know if she can save it in 2 days.
That's true. But her styling as far as hair and makeup, yeah, she did a great job with that. So.
Yeah, super cute. I think it's totally on point. I think the idea is there. She just has to, like, make some more involved pieces. She needs to take these next 2 days and just make expensive, detailed pieces to balance out everything else.
Agreed. Agreed. So moving on, we have Edmund's collection. And this one, I was so torn. The first piece you see on the far left is an all-black, long-sleeve, floor-length, kind of structural fitted, but with a long ruffle going from the neck down to the end of the dress, and it's kind of Victorian. The center dress is very flouncy and pretty with a big black bow, and it's white. I love that one. And then the final one is the new one, which is a black, kind of a black cocktail dress with a white embellishment ruffle going down the side. And I wanted to say that the centerpiece with the black and white was a highlight for me from his whole collection. I loved it, and I thought of the actress Zendaya. She could totally rock this on a red carpet or premiere or some sort of event. The other pieces, though, didn't go together as a collection. And so overall, I gave him a 6. Because it wasn't what I was hoping for Edmund.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like the stuff was bad. It just wasn't Edmund.
It's not up to the level of a runway show. It needs to be concise. You know, it needs to look like it's from the same story. It needs to be the same customer. I gave it a 5. I did feel like the looks were more elevated from what he normally creates.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a little confusing. I actually liked the day look, the one day look, the best. Oh, it looks the most modern to me. It looks
and also chic the most sexy
and,
too.
Yeah, and some like I could see a lot of people wearing this. The middle one, that's hard to pull off.
True.
Okay, and the long black gown. Mm. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe without the ruffle. I don't love the ruffle. Like, it fits great, and, you know, I love the long kind of silhouette, but the ruffle is...
It's distracting to me.
Yeah.
I don't think it does that much to highlight the woman's figure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a distraction, but it's not an enhancement.
Right, and I wish it was... Like, I don't feel like this is necessarily a very creative collection.
No.
So, even if that ruffle was, you know, some other technique or textile or something else than just, hi, I'm a ruffle that I slapped on this dress, you know?
Exactly.
I wanted to see a little more creativity, and I feel like, personally, I haven't seen that from Edmund all season. I feel like everything he makes is just a little too safe, or I've seen it before, and sometimes I feel like he struggles with his identity besides just the sexy look.
I mean, that could make perfect sense considering that he's so studied, you know, Project Runway down to a science. He studied this, that maybe that can kind of mess up his own personal aesthetic.
Yeah, I totally think so.
So this is all we have from Edmund. They did tell him that he has a lot of work to do, which is gonna be rough because he's had so much work to do last minute, but we'll see what he ends up doing.
Yeah.
And moving on from Edmund, we have Ashley's. And Oh, goodness, Ashley. I actually did give her a 5 for this collection. The first piece you see on the far left is a 2-piece. It's a bustier top and a flouncy skirt. And then in the middle, you have her challenge outfit, which is kind of like a lavender purple, a 2-piece also, a crop top with sleeves, and a kind of a see-through, long, really nice gown. And then on the far right, another 2-piece, but this one's a little bit more together. Kind of an apricot color, long sleeves, fitted skirt, and the back of it was a little bit open, which revealed that her bra was showing, and it wasn't showing in a cute, oh, it was showing in a, oh, last minute, oh, didn't do what I was supposed to do to cover it up. And it was so disappointing because a lot of the pieces that she showed weren't fitted right, or they didn't have that attention to detail that is absolutely necessary for New York Fashion Week. And I feel like she's had so many fit issues in the last couple episodes, and it's just snowballed into, you know, this episode where, again, she's having fit issues. I was really disappointed in that part.
Okay, but to be fair, plus size is very difficult to fit. So it's a whole different ballgame. That's why a lot of designers don't even go there. I don't like going there. People ask me sometimes, can you do plus size? And I just don't know how. It's a totally different proportion. It's not just designing to make a body look flattering. It's patterning. It's, you know, and you can have a girl who measures the same, but her shape is different. So when you get into plus size, it's just a whole different animal. And even though Ashley's familiar with it, you know, her models are all different sizes and shapes, even That's though they're true. All plus size. So she didn't really know, you know, maybe what she was necessarily getting. She's got a dress form. It fits a lot differently when you put it on a person that has flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I think it's just super duper hard. So I forgive her on the fit just a little bit more, you know, and they only have a couple minutes with their models to fix any fit issues, so that's, I don't think that's enough, you know. So yeah. I think she's got it a little bit tougher than everyone else.
But I still think that, you know, they had 10 looks, so yeah. If, like, the bustier, that had a lot of fit issues. I would have just gone with
pick
a different...
Something else.
Yeah, pick yeah. something else to show. I mean, her look overall is very cohesive, which was mentioned, so I don't think it would have done her a disservice. If anything, it would have made her looks cleaner mm-hmm. To show to the judges instead of, you know, displaying to them that she was having some issues with fit. And also something that they mentioned was that there wasn't a lot of patterns yeah. when in the past she's done so well with patterns. So. Yeah.
I actually love the pink lace top. I wish it wasn't backless. I wish it was just kind of, you know, covered because I don't mind the bra underneath. Mm-hmm. And I really like the kind of sequin pattern of the skirt. I think that's super cool, but also subtle. I think that's elevated from what Ashley's normally kind of doing, a younger
right.
customer. But
this is definitely more mature.
It is, and I like that. But the problem I have is this is plus size, and I feel like all the girls are naked.
Ah. Okay, I see what you mean here.
Even if, you know, even if you're confident, mm-hmm. A woman over a certain age doesn't always want to be showing their midriff or wearing their bra under a lace top. You know, the middle look, it's stunning, but it's booty shorts.
You, yeah.
So how many plus size women, confidence. Yeah, I mean, how many plus size women are going to be like, yes, I want to wear this. Like, I don't know that, you know, even though they look great, I think they're stunning, all three mm-hmm. of these models, but at the same time, you're selling to a customer, you know, a plus size customer, right. How many of those girls are going to have the confidence to want to wear that? You know, the models do, but if you're trying to sell, to me, that's, it's too sexy.
Well, I don't know. It could be fitting the perfect niche for the subgroup of, you know, curvy women who, you know, don't feel like there is attire that's sexy enough for what they want.
But I think mix it up. All three of these are really skin-bearing. Like, very even true. Even if you're thin, like, is a woman over 30 going to want to wear these? Probably not. So I wanted to see more variety. Like, can I see a covered-up look? Maybe she has more, you know, because she has 7 looks left. But mm-hmm. I had a little bit of issue.
I kind of feel like no, because she does a lot of, in the previous, you yeah. know, yeah. challenges, she's done a lot of crops.
Even though the little bustier, it's more like a bra, though. Like, even if it was a crop and it came down to the skirt, I'd feel more comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. It looks too skimpy for me. Or, you know, with the long purple skirt, if it was lined, you know, like a mini skirt instead of a booty short, it would be better. Because it's really gorgeous and it moves well. And
yeah.
I think it's super flattering. But
I should prefer it as a booty short. Because I feel like if it was like a skirt lining, it would take away from it.
I get that, but at the same time, I just think you're aiming and you're trying to represent for plus size, so I think that has to be something you think about.
It is something to be cognizant of. And another thing to be cognizant of was the flower crowns that she had on the top of her models. She made several because she initially planned to have them on all 10 models. But even Nina Garcia mentioned that, you know, maybe not.
Okay, I love them.
I love them too, but I do see what she says about them, you know, possibly taking away from the outfits.
I think it elevates the outfits, actually, because without those, is this high fashion? Not really. Is it a runway show? Are you, you know, invoking emotions in the crowd? Like, I think a lot of these looks are too basic, and I think it also gives back to her reference, which is the Mexico City 1950s inspiration. And I think I like them a lot. I think everybody should get them.
I like them. They're really gorgeous. I just don't know with 10 looks how effective it would be after a while. Like when I see one, two, oh, wow, gorgeous. And then I'm at the eighth one, I might be so distracted by the flowers that I'm not looking down at what the model might be wearing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those were the looks that we saw, and you know, they all got their critiques getting ready for the finale and for their fashion shows, which, you know, super excited about. But I feel like we have, maybe for one of the first times of our season, we have some predictions here.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh yeah, you guys are... this is new now, for us, right? Predictions. Okay, Michelle, I'm going to put you on the hot seat first. Who do you think will take it for the finale next week?
Who do I think or who do I want?
Okay, we can do... there's four, so we can do that. Who do you think will take it and who do you personally want?
I personally want Candace to win.
Okay.
I think, like, she's leveled above. But I do think she needs to pull back and edit. But I think the creativity is there. I see innovative ideas that I haven't seen before, you know. So I want Candace to win. I want her to pull it out.
Okay, and who do you think, based on Project Runway history, will take it?
Either Edmund or Ashley. I think Edmund, because I feel like the winner is always doing some kind of glamorous, you know, show like that. But I kind of want Ashley to win, too.
Okay.
And I think depending on what she does with her next 2 days, it could make or break her. But I think she could possibly take it. And I think a lot of people are rooting for her.
I definitely agree with you on that part. So I actually feel that if Candace can tone it down, I feel like she could win.
Yeah.
I feel like she's a strong contender, great aesthetic. You know, not always Zach Posen's cup of tea. but I think she could take it. And she's won so many challenges. Personally would have loved if Kelly could have stepped up her collection.
Yeah, I mean, I just think she's out of the running now. She's too far behind. Like, I did want Kelly. I was thinking it would be Kelly, but now that I've seen it, yeah, I don't...
But I feel like Edmund, if I'm taking Kelly off the loop, Edmund, not only because of his story coming 13 times and his work ethic, but traditionally his designs have been more in line with my taste anyway.
And I think they're more widely accepted and understood by the audience, so.
Right. So you guys have to tune in next week so that you can see who wins the after show. Come back, talk to us, and we can discuss what happened with the rest of the season. So thank you guys again for watching. I am Vivian Adobe, and you can keep up with me on vivaciouslyvivian.com and also VivaciouslyViv on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can find me, Michelle Uberest, on Instagram and Twitter at Uberest.
Thanks again, guys. Make sure you watch next week and comment below.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.